Welcome to Car Talk. I'm Click.
I don't know this bit. I'm sorry.
You don't know Clack. You don't know Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers from Car Talk Radio, a show that was on National Public Radio about 15 years ago. You don't know that one?
No. I'm sorry.
Data Transfer episode 51. And of course, I'm Click.
And I'm Clack.
There you go. Now you're playing along. Corla, how are you?
I'm doing really good. I just got back from a restaurant.
We love restaurant.
When I'm hungry, I visit a restaurant. Dip it in
I'm
my
not
pussy.
French.
Anyway.
I'm not French, but I want that croissant.
I've been obsessed with fucking really horny music lately, so I've been listening
Only Fire,
to like
Fuck It Up.
Only Fire and Three Big Balls and Mitzi's.
Should we drop, so that people understand Only Fire, should we drop a little Only Fire here?
Yeah, okay. I can put a little segment in.
Yeah. You picked a song.
I call that ASMR.
Only Fire, Fuck It Up.
You drive my car, I drive your dick, and I don't care if we fall off the cliff.
And we're back. And that was cool,
that,
right?
Listeners, was something. I haven't decided yet.
haven't decided.
It's horny.
Could be double penetration. Could be... It's the only one I can really remember right now.
ASMR?
ASMR. It's the other one.
Good cool tracks. Summer. That was the one you introduced
oh,
me with.
Yes, that was the one I was obsessed with.
Cruel Summer. It was such a cruel summer. Oh, fuck. It was so fun driving out of Chicago, listening to that late at night.
Yeah. Mm. We had some good times, you and I. You've been out to see me. What is it? Three times. Each time in a different place. And guess what? If you come out to see me again, in the near term, it will be in yet another place. I have lived.
I mean, that was already true. You've skipped a place since then.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm still here. I'm still in the family apartment.
Yep.
But I do have good news on my end, which is that both my partners on this end got their standby approved. We're actually we're getting some unemployment going.
We love dollars.
It's great because flooding, it sucks.
Flooding do be sucking.
I keep yawning. It's too late here.
You're a yawny little baby. You're so seedy.
Eepy baby.
Are you gonna try and stay up to play Baldur's Gate? Or are you done?
I would like to. It is, however, all the end of standard time and the beginning of daylight savings time tomorrow.
Oh, so, yeah.
And I do have to work at 10 a.m. JK, 9 a.m. to my brain. So, I think I'm going to stay up and play Baldur's Gate is my plan.
I guess I get to play Balatro, but
No, I do want to play some Baldur's Gate, actually.
Yay! Yeah, let's get a little bit done. We've been playing so much of that together.
Yeah, it's a great fucking game. I've gotten to some really cool stuff in my solo campaign that I can't wait for you to see.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to. I'm moving fast on my solo campaign as well. I'm almost caught up with us actually.
Nice.
Because here's a little secret. I'm already playing with you and actually taking in the challenge of the game. I just want to fuck around with this one, so I put it on easy and put in some cheat codes for funsies. I don't care about the achievements. I'll let those go by for now.
Yeah, and you'll get them on our playthrough.
I want to do, like, a horny evil playthrough. That sounds fun.
Did you get Minthara?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's hot. I really like that she's very straightforward and hot, and just slightly less of a dick than Lazelle most of the time.
Sure. Who's your party? Let's get deep on Baldur's Gate 3.
It's Minthara.
Alienate everyone who hasn't playing.
Shadowheart, and I took your advice on the Tempest Cleric reclass.
Yes.
And Karlach, who's actually got two levels into Rogue.
Wow.
I forget why. I'm like going off an online build for her.
It's probably sneak attack and cunning action so that you can
Right. Yes. So I had to get 3 levels into it for Thief. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get 2 bonus actions, 2 of which can be dash. So you just dash her twice and run her dick first into some fight that she's going to win because she's Karlach.
Mm-hmm.
So but, this is how.
I was just sorry. I shouldn't let the game distract me from asking you how you're doing.
I'm doing okay. I was going to run you through my Baldur's Gate party.
Oh, please. Please.
Okay.
Please.
Shagaya is my drow Tempest cleric, who I love very much. I am of the elite few that mains cleric. And, like, I remember when the first weekend stats came out and they like released what percentage of players were like their main character was a cleric, like all the classes, they had them all, and like fighter was really common, rogue was really common, lots of paladins, and you know, all this stuff. Cleric was a mere 3%
mm-hmm.
of the player base chose cleric, and that's me. I did that.
Yeah.
So I have my Drow Tempest Cleric, I have Karlach, I have Will, and I have Astarion.
Ooh.
And Astarion fucking hates being in this party with the three of us. Astarion's so mad at me all the time. He's like, good. You did what? I'm like, yeah, freedom. Did you get any money? No. No, I did it out of the goodness of my heart. I'm trying to spread the word of Elestray. And he's like, I don't fucking get it at all.
I appreciate that you were making him suffer. He's such an insufferable pretty boy.
Such a prick.
He's such a fuck boy.
Yeah, and Karlach has got to be miserable in a party with Lazel, Minthara, and an evil Githyanki rogue.
Yeah.
She's like, We could help them for free. You're like, no. I will extort them. I will threaten violence against them in favor of money.
My evil Githyanki rogue probably could stand to have Astarion in the party, because I'm sure he'd, but also I don't need 2 rogues.
No, you have fucking a barbarian with rogue levels too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing okay. Getting a new place, moving into a new spot like this week, which is very exciting.
Oh,
but also I'm not stoked on moving again.
Right.
Gotta load all my shit in my whip, fucking run it up to my new neighborhood, which is cool. I have a Salvation Army right around the corner, so I can go buy cheap home goods. I'm gonna get a trans flag shower curtain is my plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into my bathroom and it's like, oh, a tran lives here.
Once you're in the bathroom, you already know that.
You have to know that.
Yeah. I guess if you're like a plumber, that might be a surprise. But otherwise, yeah, if you're in Audrey's bathroom, odds are you know.
Yeah, Audrey is a trans.
And she's on that HRT.
Hurt. I'm on that hurt.
Hurt.
Earn that, doing good, you know, making moves, life's changing, like the way life does.
Making boobs with your estrogen.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Check these out.
Are they cool? I love them. I showed you mine underneath my new shirt.
Yeah, cool new shirt.
Yeah, my partners went to a concert for like a cool trans artist, Anita Velveeta, and they brought back shirts, and now I have another fucking shirt with Dragon Ball on it, which I think is very funny for someone who's really not that much of a Dragon Ball person.
Sure. R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, fuck. I'm enough of a Dragon Ball person to be really sad about that.
To be bummed out.
Yeah, I love Dragon Quest.
Chrono Trigger.
Yeah. Fuck. Chrono Trigger, yeah. Blue Dragon, even. I have a big soft spot in my heart for, despite being some real dumb bullshit. He made the realization that when a snake coils up into a pile, it looks kind of like a turd. And thus, there's an enemy type recurrent throughout the whole game that are turd snakes.
Cool.
And that's just a thing. Are they brown? Some of them.
That's cool.
There's like one of the bonus bosses, one of the secret super bosses is just a giant golden turd snake.
Great. Good. Did you see the panel that he drew at one point? And the caption is "Me in Paradise." And he's like wearing a gas mask, eating a bowl of cereal, looking at a nudie mag and smoking a cigarette.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, yeah, you're cool. RIP to a real one.
Actually.
RIP to a real one. Yeah, you wanna talk about digital monsters?
I do.
Let's do it. Let's get into the bread and butter of the program. This episode is entitled The Crest of Friendship. But in the Japanese, it is Paimon, the clown from hell. wandering down a dark cave, Matt begins to despair and feels that he has been a poor brother and friend. Despite Gabumon's protests, Matt thinks that Tai is better at being a brother to TK than he ever was. Matt tells Gabumon to go away and dismisses him.
So, I would disagree on that, right? Wouldn't you?
That Tai's been a better brother to TK than Matt has?
Yeah.
I mean, Tai has, like, especially in the early part of this season, Tai gave TK more room to grow and do things. Matt was always being like, TK, be careful.
Fair, but like, he's been actively looking out for him.
Ty was just like, you're one of the gang. You're like a cool kid. You're like kicking ass with the rest of us. You're dope.
I suppose.
So I think that's where Matt's feeling comes from, I think.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's invalid. I just think, I don't know. He's being too hard on himself a little bit.
Oh, I mean, fucking yeah, because we learn later in the episode he is possessed by the spirit of depression.
That's right.
So Gabumon bites Matt on the leg to get his attention and admonishes Matt for comparing himself to Tai. He also says that if he really wants him to go, he will, but Matt tells him to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt then says he's always felt alone and that after his parents' divorce, he pushed people away and wouldn't let anyone see him cry.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this kind of rings true to our reading of him as Transmask.
Yeah, I'll never let anyone see me cry. That's bitch move.
Yeah, no, it's my understanding that, like, you pick up a lot of, like, toxic elements of masculinity when you start trying to emulate what you see in the guys around you.
Well, yeah, I think that's a part of transgender identity is trying on all the parts of the identity, right? I'm a real catty bitch with people in my life. I'm like talking shit about people and like, you know what I mean? Like doing real girl stuff, you know, like taking on toxic traits of femininity, you know, mm-hmm. I think you gotta try to do. You do what fits you, and if part of taking on a masculine identity is taking on some of the toxic traits, then that's just how it is for you, you know?
Huh. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I hadn't really turned that mirror back on myself in that way.
Yeah, I'm fucking smart.
SMRT smart, that's you.
Yay. Due to Gabumon's championship, Matt begins to see that he isn't alone after all and that he does have friends.
Yeah.
Matt and Gabumon promise to be best friends forever, and then the cave around them dissolves.
Yeah. Man realizes he's worthy of love, cries.
Yeah. It's like, it was a real weepy fucking scene with Matt and Gabumon in the cave. And they're like holding hands and talking about how much they love each other and how much they value each other's friendship. And that's great. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And I want to point out, by the way, this whole spirit of depression thing, not explained, not a specific enemy that they're up against or anything. It just is happening to them now. and like, we're just going by Kingdom Hearts rules. But you know what? It gets us to some really good emotional bits. And so I'll take the contrivance absolutely for the good shit we get in this episode.
Yeah. I think it's neat. It's like their emotions are creating manifestations in the world around them, particularly like it hasn't happened with anything else, but it's when they fall to despair, apparently they create wormholes of darkness that form caves around them. They're almost immediately spotted by Joe, who has been searching for them. Joe returns Matt's harmonica.
Also, Matt has a line that really got me. He's like, if you insist, I'll complain once in a while, but only to you. Because Gabumon's like, no, you gotta let people know when you're not doing okay, and when you got a problem. Yeah. That's, oh, fuck.
And Matt's like, I'll only trauma dump to you.
Exactly.
Sora and TK find Matt's boat. Sora begins to doubt herself, and the same darkness that had a hold of Matt grabs her. She falls into a cave with Bioman.
I wrote, more darkness tendrils. No, Sora, no.
And we keep like this. Like, I understand that in the synopsis, it's like easier to write, like to finish an A plot and then go back to the B plot later.
Mm-hmm.
All throughout this, they're cutting away to WarGreymon getting the shit kicked out of him by Piedmon.
Yep. Buying time as best he can. And he's getting very tired.
Yeah, and Ty will not, just won't let Izzy let, won't, Matt, Ty won't let Izzy let Kabuterimon out, you know?
Right. He's like, there, save your strength. We got one shot at this.
Yeah, and I mentioned at the time that I thought that Ty had the right tactical read.
Yep, I've been saying this since last episode.
But was going about it all wrong. Was being kind of a dick.
Yeah, for one thing, he's not the one. I mean, he is taking blows eventually because WarGreymon gets tired. But ultimately, he's putting his friend on the line here as the defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's...
Sorry, I got distracted by an ad for PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
DigimonFandom.wiki.
Gotcha. PlayStation. Yeah,
PlayStation 5 ad. Right now they're doing some Demon Souls shit, which I never beat Demon Souls. I never even got close.
What about Semen Souls? It's like Pizza Souls for Dark Souls, except it replaces all the textures with a sperm.
With cum. And so it's at some point, it's kind of important to note that WarGreymon's armor gets shattered by a clown beam.
Yeah, it's really like clothing damage RPG. He is getting beaten the hell up.
I think he says clown's trick. I would have shit everywhere if he said Joker's trick.
Joker's trick.
Clown's trick. Just then, Joe and Matt find TK. And he tells them what has happened.
Yay.
Yay, they're reunited.
They're also happy to see each other. It's so wholesome.
It's big wholesome. This whole episode's very wholesome.
It is.
They go into the cave with Matt warning them not to be scared. Upon finding Sora, Matt and Joe try to bring her out of her depression by yanking on her.
They're just trying to get her to sit up.
They're like,
or like stand up. They're like, come on. And she's rooted.
Locked in place. Yeah. They give her the confidence to keep going and tell her that they came to the digital world for a reason. They also, like, she's mumbling about how she's fucking responsible for the fate of the fucking digital world, right? That she feels like that weight is on her shoulders. And they're like, no, it's kind of all of us, actually. Like, you don't have to deal with this alone.
Yeah, her darkness is in not being willing to see her burden shared equally among them. And just kind of taking it all on herself. I get the feeling she might be someone who like had to raise herself growing up. You know what I mean? Absentee parents, either because of work or abuse or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, her mom's in retail. She's a floral shop owner, so that, like, you know, that.
Oh yeah, they do have a bit of a strained relationship already. So
yeah, keeps you out of the house for long hours. You know, running the business.
Yep.
And like Matt trying to pull her out of this depression manifests as him like entering her dream state in a glowing ball of golden light.
If you've seen the end of Final Fantasy VII, the original, it's literally that. It's Cloud like going into the fucking life stream at the end, or like a vision, whatever. He's just a comet going through space. Sephiroth's there waiting for him, and then you do the Omni Slash, and he's back. Spoilers for Final Fantasy VII,
a game that came out what 40 years ago.
I'm 70 years old. The only program I know how to work with is Roblox.
Roblox. You keep saying Roblox.
Fred inside
me. Yeah, now you have to link that. You have to link that.
Yeah, now I have to put a little excerpt in here. I'll do it. It's fine. Fred inside me. Fred
inside me. So Sora realizes that this is true, and the cave around them disappears.
Disappear.
They rejoin Ty and his group to find Wargreymon badly injured. He's like shattered armor from the clown beam.
Are you okay?
Just hitting bitches with the clown beam.
He's slapping him down with the clown beam.
Yeah, fucking him up with the clown beam. Matt tends to Ty, who is also hurt, and says that their friendship has always meant a lot to him. Ty says that he never stopped believing in him, and Matt's crest glows, healing Wargreymon.
Yeah, turns out tapping into it can give you healing powers if you do it good. It's like role play bonuses when you play Powered by the Apocalypse games.
Sure. You know what I mean? It's definitely he got inspiration
for saying character. Yeah.
Yeah. He got inspiration for that.
Yeah. I forgot Gabumon, 5e has that.
Yeah. Gabumon then warp digivolves to Metal Garurumon and joins the fight against Piedmon. End of synopsis. Corla, please rate this episode on a scale of rookie to mega.
Mega. This episode's so fucking good.
Yeah. There's a bunch of one-liners that we didn't get to, like Matt's talking about being swallowed by darkness, and Gabumon says,
like Jonah and the whale?
Which, yeah, I wrote Digimon more like VeggieTales.
Yeah.
Because, like, what wild. The fuck is that?
When they're falling down into the cave, Joe falls on his butt, and he says, luckily, I fell on the one thing that has built-in airbags.
He calls his butt cheeks airbags, and that is canon to the show. Also, I just love, I want to go back and point out that it is delightfully just obvious, I guess is the word I'm going for, when we see Matt's inner darkness literally dissipate as he embraces his friendship. Like, it's not subtle. It's it's right there in front of you in visual language for kids.
It's for kids.
For kids.
It's for the kids. Trump sword. Trump sword.
Izzy mentions General Custer in one of his fucking one-liners.
Yeah, that was fucking like, weird.
Why? First of all I can think of for, I don't know who General Custer is. I just think of Custer's Revenge. Second of all, don't make me think about Custer's Revenge. Don't do that. Also, Matt tells Ty in these exact words, nothing will ever come between us again. She's just so gay. They're meant to be together.
They truly are. Boyfriend and boyfriend.
Boyfriend and boyfriend.
General Custer
awkward kisses in the locker room.
General Custer was a shitty piece of shit who was trying to drive Indians off of their ancestral lands. And he fell at the Battle of Little Bighorn when he was surrounded and murdered by Native folks.
Okay.
Good for them.
Self-defense for them, yeah.
Good for them. That rocks.
Yeah, that fucking rules.
They should have drove our fucking white asses off this rock the second we landed.
Boy, it makes it really fucked up to think about that someone would come up with that context for a game, huh?
Yeah. That's Custer's Revenge is really fucked.
That's
for so many reasons.
What's that? There's also that like arcade game Beat 'em and Eat 'em or something like that.
Oh, where you have to catch the loads.
Yeah, you have to catch the loads.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a trackball game.
Trackball game where you're catching loads. That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of catching loads,
Pussy 2.
Pussy 2. Quasar. All right. So we didn't get any new Digimon this time, so I got to pick a theme again. And today our theme is Baldur's Gate. And it ended up being all Baldur's Gate 3. Even though I opened it up to other things, we could have had Anthro Boo. I don't know.
Oh, no.
You know him ass in this game?
In 3?
Yeah.
Boo is in 3. Is Minsk in 3?
Minsk is in 3.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know. God, I'm so mad. It. I want to kill him the second I run into. Like, I'm doing like a true hero run. Like, I'm so good and so nice. The second I run into him, I'm going to hit him in the face with a mace until he dies.
They better give you a good excuse. Yeah. I've only played the tutorial to Baldur's Gate 2, and I Minsk still hate this
Boo
man.
Stand ready.
And then just... I just kill him, and then I just kill him again and again.
I load F5, the save so kill I can him. Kill F8, him again. Kill him. Yes. F8, kill him.
Kill him. F8, kill him. I want to kill him with a fucking nuclear weapon.
Instead of talking about murder, why don't you talk about this image I just sent you?
Let's see what we got here. Hey, look at that. It's Karlach, everyone's favorite barbarian.
Yeah, with her broken horn.
With her broken horn and her shock of like red to black hair running down her back. She's in like tumbling over her shoulder. She has huge muscles and the fattest dumper possible that like in proportionate to a human being or a humanoid creature.
But there's a reason for that, I think.
Because she has consumed a potion of thick giant strength.
It's all one word, too. Thick giant.
Thick giant is so good. And there's a little icon that says strength up next to her.
Strength up. Yeah, and there's even like a little profile shot in the back that's in one corner where her dumper is just fucking hanging. You could stack books on that shelf.
She looks like a fertility idol.
In fact, fuck books. You could put your laptop on that.
Yeah, just stand behind her and fucking do some work. I like to get behind her and do some work, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fuck. And yeah, her thighs in the front are very nice, too.
Yeah, her bikini bra strap has broken under the strength of her shoulders.
It has. She snibbity snapped it.
Yeah, and her fucking tids are about to come out. It's great. It's
good. Yeah.
What's the next one?
The next one is an
elephant. Oh my god. You're describing this one.
Yeah, that's right. This is mine. Dang it. It's an elephant woman. It's pretty much just like a hot hentai woman. With a little bit of tum, I suppose.
Sure.
And a fair bit of thigh and a lot
big
of boobs.
Yeah.
Except she's adorned in golden jewelry with what looks like tourmaline or aquamarine or something in there. Worked all into it, all along her legs, with like a toe ring and straps attached to it. All fucking over her. And otherwise completely naked. She is on her side, pushed up on one elbow, legs up, and showing off her pussy, which I'm pretty sure canonically they don't have.
No, they don't.
So I had to dock this points, actually.
Yeah. They of course reproduce through the process of seramorphosis. Yes.
But yeah, she's got a big old squid head. She's got that Cthulhu head, which is also still adorned with finery and jewels.
Her eyes are so feminine.
They're very feminine eyes. She's got that fucking the wing.
Yeah, the got winged eyeliner.
Yeah.
I try that and fucking fail all the time.
Oh, the eyeliner, not fucking an Illithid. Sorry.
No, I try to fucking Illithid all the time. You know me, famous betentacled pussy hound.
Listen, you don't have to pick on me, okay? Anyway, yeah, she is giving you every sign, listener, that she wants you to interact with that vagina in some way or other.
Probably slam a jam it or eat it.
Probably slam a jam it or eat it. But, I mean, yeah. You can get creative.
You can snuggle with it.
Yeah, you can put a mousetrap on.
Okay, cool.
That's the first thing that came to mind. I went, Carlin, no, think of anything else. Don't. And then I couldn't.
And you were like, couldn't do it. I once put a clothespin on my partner's labia majora, the majora, not the menorah. Because that would suck so bad. A clothespin on your labia menorah. But the majora is a little more meaty, a little more capable of accepting such pressure. And so I put it on her because I was doing a scene. I was dominating her and making her feel pain because I'm a bit of a sadist.
Exquisite pain.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I put the clothespin on her pussy and she goes, owie.
Owie.
I was like, yeah. When I looked at it, I stopped the scene and I looked at her and went, yeah, that's why I did it.
Oh, fuck.
Owie. That's funny. I'll never forget the way she said it. Owie.
You told me this a couple times and I delight in it every time I get to hear it.
It's a great fucking story. What's next?
Next, we have what I personally think is probably like a trace of like an actual porn image.
Okay.
But regardless, it is quite well rendered.
Nope, that's the Illithid again. Boop. Here we go. Okay, this does look like a trace of an actual porn image.
Yeah.
You have some very lusciously rendered cocks in like a charcoal style. Big ones, big old penises, and in the middle of this big nest of penises, in this blow bang, it might be called if you're familiar with pornography, is everyone's favorite frog bitch, Lizelle, with her lips wrapped tightly around the head of one of these presumably human penises. And she's got her eyes crossed. They're like going in different directions. She's like, oh my god, there's so many dicks here.
So many dicks. Husband drawing dicks.
Drawing dicks. Drawing dicks. This show is just for us.
I mean, just for us and the people that date us, which, I mean, that's not nothing, so fuck it.
Yeah, we got pretty good reach if we're getting the whole polycule.
That's true, actually. That's a hell of a networking. That's like getting popular with Mormons.
Except there's frog bitches sucking wieners.
Except there's, yeah, that's way cooler than Mormonism, actually. That's way cooler than tiered capitalist heaven. Fuck that.
Ugh. God, can you imagine commerce in the afterlife? Fuck that. That was one of the things that was most disturbing about Wraith the Oblivion, the setting for
World of
Darkness with the ghosts.
Yeah, the WADs.
Yeah, it was a WAD setting for where you play as dead people, as people who have passed on through the veil. And mainly the game is played in the ethereal realm. It's like played on the other side. In fact, it is frowned upon that you interact with the living world because a similar thing to the the masquerade. There's always that sort of consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that bummed me out the most about it is that there's slavery in the afterlife. Like, you can die and be enslaved. And I'm like, wow, because that's forever. It's like forever, forever. You know what I mean? Like, slavery is an abomination. I want to say that unequivocally. But eventually you die and are freed from it.
I was going to say, there is a reprieve, and that's it.
Yeah, there's death.
Besides violent revolt or escape.
Which, you know, violent revolt. Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
John Brown, go back in time. Give him a battle mech. John Brown and a Gundam.
Johnny B. Good.
Old Johnny B. in a Gundam. Let's do it.
Johnny B. gunned.
Cool. But there's like commerce. And the thing about the ethereal, I'm going to get real deep into this for a second. The thing about the ethereal realm is that there's very little material of things. Stop it right now.
Why? I need to keep my hands busy.
It's distracting me. There's very little material of things to be made. Stop. Stop it. She's pulling a pussy open and licking it and miming it. But you could be captured and forged into shit. Like, because there's no, like, ectoplasm is a rare material, even in the after realm. Like, the only new energy being introduced to that world is new souls coming in. So the, like, hierarchy figured out how to make shit out of ghosts. So you could die, be enslaved, labor for a long time, and then be reduced into an object.
A brick, yeah. All in all, you're just another brick in the wall.
Yeah, misery. It's like one of the most bleak settings of all time. And great. I thought it was great. I had a character that I love very much. He was a convenience store worker who died in a robbery attempt. Yeah, he was cool.
Damn. I'm high.
You're high. So who's your what's the one digital champion?
Gotta be Matt this episode.
Oh yeah.
Really turning around, finishing up his arc, and then using that like momentum to bolster everyone else through theirs. Comes in right at the nick of time to save Ty and Agumon. Just a good time. Just a good time with them.
I'm going to give it to Gabumon for much the same reason, but because he pulled Matt out of the spiral
by
holding his hand and telling him that he's great and he loves
by him. Biting him in the fucking leg
and biting him in the leg. Hey man,
he bites him. He fucking chops him with his big old teeth. It's very funny. I really enjoyed that bit. I'm like, that would work on me if I was being depressed and someone just bit me and be like, ow, what the fuck.
You're not so worried about the future in that moment.
Yeah, I'm worried about not getting bit again.
I'm seeing a lot of content of people being bit by geese and swans.
Why?
On Twitter. It's great. I don't know. I maybe watched a video, maybe looped a video a couple times of a guy being bit by a swan on a golf course.
And then Twitter went, that for you now,
that
forever.
One, you like that. You like that, don't you? It's this guy's lining
you
up.
Dirty little pig.
This guy's lining up a putt and his homie's like videotaping him, like taking a video on his phone.
Uh-huh.
He's lining up a putt and there's a swan walking up behind him with its wings out. And it's like waddling up. The guy sinks the putt and then gets bit in the ass. It's awesome.
Okay, that's very funny. People should be cosmically punished for golfing.
Tony? You hear that former guest of the show, Tony Boswell? You should be cosmically punished for golfing.
Every time you go golfing, you should get a little bit of stinging nettle on your balls.
God. Some people like that.
If you like that, then you get like, I don't know, a oral thrush.
What is nettle play called?
Nettle play.
Is it just called Nettle Play?
It's just called Nettle Play. I almost I've seen a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You seen the swollen results?
Yes. And the screaming, Jesus Christ.
Yo. Yo. Yo.
Yo.
It's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show.
We've arrived at the end of the show, and now it's time for plugs.
I wish you could all see how fuzzy and cute Audrey is.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to need you to go listen to Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships where we did this joke twice this week. Your time is up, my time is now. So I had to do it again on this one.
Something about my presence causes y'all to fucking repeat bits from the previous one.
Sure, it's fine. It's a podcast. I'm in bed right now. So it's good. It's a good show. Heartfelt advice, goofy japes. Check it out at rftb.me or anywhere you find your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Corla. I have another show called Post Ponies. You can find it on anywhere you're listening to this thingy. It's me and a couple other partners and our good friend Ruby going through My Little Pony Friendship is Magic and talking about the rise of American fascism.
Love it.
We are also on smallgayhorse.com.
Best URL.
There's an email for the show. We remember that sometimes. We remember it exists. It's datatransferpod@gmail.com. Send us... What did I say the first time? Recipes? I can't do that again.
Recipes.
Send us
money.
Illicit drugs.
Okay.
Through email.
Cool. Send us drug emails.
I'm a robot girl. Send me some fucking viruses so I can get all fuzzy in my head.
Well, on that note,
I was about saying that. We're just going to move on.
On that note, I love you folks. You're great. Thanks for listening. And I'm going to instruct you to get out there and digivolve your ass off.